In the new film, The Congressman, actor Treat Williams plays Charlie Winship, a Vietnam veteran turned U.S. congressman. Robert Mrazek is a Vietnam-era veteran and a real five-turn congressman. Treat Williams' character is disenchanted. His marriage is falling apart. Robert Mrazek once confided to a friend that he was losing touch with his family, and his friend said, go to Maine's Monhegan Island. So Mrazek went, as does Treat Williams' congressman, in a new movie that Mrazek wrote and directed. The fictional Congressman Winship goes to talk to island constituents about their battle to keep their island from being overfished. But before that, an oily former congressman turned lobbyist for the bigger fishermen, played by George Hamilton, tries to stop Winship with a lugubrious visit to his Washington office.
I know why you're here, Laird, and I still have to go out there.
Those inbred started a shooting war. They're crazy.
Who do you represent in all this?
Lobstermen's Benevolent Association. There are 4,000 of them along the Maine coast. They're in the right.
How much are they paying you?
Oh, it's almost a charity thing. $25,000 a month.
Ick. Robert Mrazek represented New York's Long Island from 1983 to 1993. His new film is The Congressman. He joins us from the NPR studios in New York. And so, Congressman Bob, congratulations. And do we understand this is a dream long delayed to be a filmmaker?
Yeah, I wanted to be a filmmaker long before I went into politics. I was just out of the Navy in January of 1968, and I went to the London Film School. But in April of 68, Dr. King was murdered, and I took that very deeply. And then in June of 68, Robert Kennedy was assassinated. And it just seemed that what I was doing was rather trivial compared to our country being torn apart. So I came back to Washington. I went to work for a senator who was opposed to the war. And I ended up taking a 40-year detour from what I wanted to do.
Well, in the film, we meet a wonderfully rumpled and weary Treat Williams, the congressman character, who doesn't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance in the House. Well, someone tapes that on an iPhone, and he becomes the center of a huge controversy, people with bullhorns yelling at him. And he looks as if he was already, you know, to exit Congress when this happens. Where did this come from?
Well, actually, I was a pledge dodger. I can remember in 1988, a member of Congress from the South stood up at a leadership meeting, and I was a member of the Democratic leadership at the time. And she said, Mr. Speaker, if the Pledge of Allegiance is something important enough to have every school child in America recite it every morning, I think we should be doing the same thing. And at the time, I remember standing up and saying something to the effect that, you know, at the beginning of each session, we put our hand on a Bible and swear to uphold the Constitution and every freedom this nation holds dear. And I don't think we need to recite a loyalty oath every morning just to prove we love our country. And she looked at me and she said, well, I would have expected no less from you, Mr. Muzawak, or whatever. She could never pronounce my name. And we started reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, except that I was often there at the beginning of a session and did not stand or recite the pledge. And a couple of weeks later, we were back in a WHIPS meeting, a leadership meeting, and she stood up and she said, Mr. Speaker, it's my sad duty to report that we have pledge dodgers right here in the Democratic leadership. It was at that time that I wondered, who wrote the Pledge of Allegiance? Where did this come from? And discovered that the author of the Pledge of Allegiance, Francis Bellamy, who wrote it in 1892, was a militant National Socialist who believed the federal government should take over all industry as well as the whole public school system, and who, along with the pledge, instituted something called the Bellamy Salute. And so American school children stood in formation to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, giving the Nazi stiff-armed salute. And I thought, this is interesting. In December of 41, after Adolf Hitler declared war on us, the Congress passed a resolution saying that in future the pledge would be recited with the hand over the heart.
Instead of the Nazi salute. And we should say in the film, your character gets in a lot of trouble when he demonstrates the salute that the children gave, which is the Nazi salute. And of course, that's the only image that makes it to the evening news, him giving the Nazi salute. So you take from your real life experiences in this film and creating this character. We wondered if maybe some of the frustration your character is expressing had to do with your own window onto controversy, because we read that you were swept up with hundreds of other House members in the banking scandal of the early 90s. You bounced checks with no penalty, and that might sound like not a huge deal in light of more recent scandals, but it gave Republicans a lot of fire because it was mostly Democrats. They took the majority in the House. We just wondered if any of that, you know, having that experience, made its way into your character.
Not really. That scandal, if you want to call it a scandal, was really, you know, the mouse that roared, if you will. Members of Congress served for 2 years. Their salary was constitutionally guaranteed. And members were able to draw against their salary at the end of the month since 1832. But it certainly blew up a race that I was considering for the U.S. Senate. But I could have run for re-election. I announced at the beginning of my fifth term that I wasn't going to run for re-election to the House. I did not want to be on that treadmill every 2 years. I had a district that was 2-1 Republican, and I was a Democrat, and it required me to make a lot of sacrifices that I was happy to do. But my kids were 11 and 13. I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, it does seem to be a part of what you may be saying through this character, that things like that, again, it was, you know, many of you were drawing checks without paying penalties for overdrawing them. It did blow up. And so does a story at the center of your film. And so you have this disenchanted congressman and this slick lobbyist who's promising the congressman's top aide that he'll help him, the aide, replace the congressman if the aide helps him. And there's also collusion with a reporter and another candidate. Really? Does it get that bad?
Well, one of my inspirations for writing the film was the way the culture in Washington has changed since I was there. In the 80s, we could work together, Democrats and Republicans. I worked hard with John Kasich on budget issues, with Tom Ridge. I authored a bill called the Amerasian Homecoming Act, which brought 19,000 children fathered by Americans during the Vietnam War, brought them here to the United States. And Tom Ridge, a Republican, worked closely with me on that. Today, it's impossible to do that. They really hate one another. It's so visceral, so ugly, and so partisan. Whereas on this island where I live a good part of the year, there are probably only 60 people who live there year-round. And a lot of them don't like one another, but they know they have to work together to function and to survive. And that contrast in cultures is something that I wanted to explore with the movie.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the island and the fishing story at the heart of this. There are such things as lobster wars. I mean, you hear that a man can get shot at for poaching someone else's trap up and down the main coast. You have the fishermen on the island wanting to protect the remaining fish so that they fish it reasonably, but then they have these other fishermen wanting to come and trawl through. I was reading an account of testimony before Congress in 1912, you know, fishermen saying, please keep the trawlers out. But now it's the government that's regulating fishing. As you well know, that's decimated whole towns like Gloucester up here in Massachusetts because they're stopping them from fishing the overfished areas. So it's you've got elements of, you know, all the fishing wars in your storyline. You know, we hear people recently, fishermen, saying that their champions are gone. Ted Kennedy, John Kerry, Barney Frank. Are you trying to maybe do that sort of political championing, but through film?
Well, there's definitely an underlying message there, Robin. Yes, the environmental themes, the fact that our oceans are at risk, the fact that we are overfishing many parts of the coast of America, that draggers are literally scraping the entire ecosystem off the ocean floors, those are things that I wanted people to think about.
Yeah. We should say, too, there's beautiful scenery, gorgeous scenery. There's a romance, which I'm not sure, Congressman, if that is your wheelhouse. But how do you feel about your first film? I mean, is this going to be it for you? Is this, are you going to do more?
Well, at 70, I now know what I want to be when I grow up, Robin. And yes, I hope to make more films in the future. Everything that I had hoped for when I was 22 years old and at the London Film School is happening. It's just happening to a young first-time director at 70.
That's former Congressman Robert Mrazek, now filmmaker Robert Mrazek. His new film is The Congressman. It opens tomorrow. Congressman, thank you so much.
I really appreciate it, Robin. Thank you for having me.